Welcome to the Monday, October 29th edition of the Clemson Dubcast. Tigers have edged their last three opponents by an aggregate score of 163-20. And that 20 points, folks, is deceptive because it's all coming garbage time. All of it. Every single bit of those points have come in garbage time. There's been a lot of garbage time over the last three games. A lot of time for opposing fans to take off their shirts and get a tan and catch up on some reading. Louisville fans, if reading's not your thing, you can maybe download the podcast for the second half of this game Saturday and give it a listen, maybe on your way home or if you're still in the stands. 59-10. Crazy thing is, it wasn't surprising. It was surreal, for sure, because you're not used to seeing that type of beatdown in that stadium against that program. But not surprising. If you had been paying attention to how wobbly Florida State was, how bad their offensive line has been for years, it seems now. If you had been paying attention to Clemson really hitting its stride, playing its best down the stretch of the season. So the Tigers and Alabama on a seeming collision course, playing yet again. Just got to keep both of those quarterbacks healthy. Title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Parham Smith and Archenhold Law Firm in Greenville. Very happy to have them aboard. Couldn't do it without them. Blake Smith and Brooke Archenhold, both Clemson grads, both huge fans. Forte of their firm is medical negligence. They represent patients and their family members in medical negligence actions. They also handle all sorts of other complex personal injury litigation. I can vouch for them. About 10 years ago, a family member had a pretty serious medical situation with one of the local hospitals. Went to Blake Smith, and he very quickly and authoritatively gave us some great advice, and we were very thankful for that. Parham Smith and Archenhold offers free consultations. Give them a call, 864-990-4581, or parhamlaw.com. Also sponsoring the podcast is the Abernathy Boutique Hotel, right down about a block or two from the stadium. Great location. All the ESPN folks who are in Clemson at various points throughout the year, they stay there and they absolutely love it just because it's so convenient, so nice with all sorts of amenities, including the Taps Bar and Cafe. They also have a tailgate outside before home games and grilling out hot dogs, hamburgers, got a DJ, got multiple bars outside. They're partnering with Jack Daniels for those events. So a lot of cool stuff over at the Abernathy. Got a lot of good beers on tap inside at Taps Bar and Cafe. My favorite is the Hugie Street IPA. So go on over there and give them a look. Check them out. Right across from Lower Lot 2 or on the internets at theabernathy.com. Okay, been wanting to do this interview since we started the podcast. Have had Bart Boatwright on the list since the beginning. Bart Boatwright, of course, longtime sports photographer for the Greenville News. It's kind of crazy because over the years, sports writers and the sports photographers sort of coexist, but we have such different jobs. My job is to sit around and watch a game and hopefully pay as close attention as possible to it so you can write authoritatively on it, whereas Bart and other photographers' jobs are to anticipate and put themselves in the right position to catch sort of that money photo at the end of a game or just a photo that sort of tells the story of the game, which is a very difficult thing to do, and there's certainly an art to it. And as you'll hear in this interview, there's also an art to staying out of the way of oncoming 350-pound humans who are running full speed toward the sideline and toward thousands of dollars worth of photography equipment. So as stitched up, Bart Boatwright joined us last week for this interview. Hope y'all enjoy. All right, here we are with Bart Boatwright, an institution in the state of South Carolina and beyond. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, institution, maybe I should be institutionalized, but yes.
All right, so I've been meaning to have you on, and okay, full disclosure for those listeners out there, we're recording this on a Tuesday of Florida State Week, and it just was made apparent to me that you got run over on the freaking sidelines by Christian Wilkins and had to go to the hospital.
Well, how did you figure that out? Well, it might be this black eye that I have today, you know. Saturday, I've been at the Greenville News 28 years, been taking photos on the sidelines since I was in high school. And I've had a few incidents, but I think this is probably the first time that I've ever actually been run over. And I've always talked to other photographers and people on the sidelines, and I think the common factor that comes into play with this is usually when you get run over, it's when you don't see it coming. And the play, if anybody watched the game, they know exactly when this happened. It was the fake field goal attempt. And I'm on the sideline shooting that, and I'm focused on Will. You know, he picks up the ball, fumbles the ball, picks up the ball. Got some great pictures of Will fumbling the ball, and the next thing I know, I'm wiped out. Well, I was able to see the replay, and you can't actually see me getting hit, but you can see Christian blocking a guy like 25 yards downfield, a great downfield block. Well, he blocked him right into me and took me out. The camera got knocked around a little bit, not too bad, but I got back up, and I was like, I got to get back to work, and they had the staff at Clemson, great guys, came
training
over.
Training staff.
Yeah, training staff came over immediately and said, well, your eye's bleeding. I'm like, my eye's bleeding. And they looked, and I had a cut over my left eye, and they said, you need to go get stitches. And I'm like, can't go get stitches. It's the second quarter, you know. So put a Band-Aid on it. Let's go, you know. Rub some dirt on it. Let's go. So we put a Band-Aid on it, and I was able to make it through the rest of the game and had to go to the emergency room afterwards just to get the bleeding stopped. But it looks worse than it is.
So this was not able to be seen on the TV footage, but I'm guessing on the coach's film, they're probably giving Christian some extra tiger paws on the back of his helmet for that.
I think he's going to get a little camera on the back of his helmet. You know, they have the paws, but I think he'll have a little camera on the back.
I mean, he's probably getting just a lot of love in those meetings. Like, great job, and I would love to get the footage from them. Anyway, you might not want to see it again.
No, actually, I talked with Henry here.
Henry Guess?
Yes, and I mentioned it to him. He didn't know anything about it, but I guess they have a lot of angles, you know, that you wouldn't see, and I asked him to take a look, because I'd kind of like to see. But to be honest, I had no idea who it was. It happened so quickly, and I'm sure it was Christian and whoever the guy was he was blocking, and they were up and gone, and I never even saw it until I saw a replay to see who it was. So
that's crazy. It's the first time. I mean, you've been
first
on sidelines
okay.
for...
Okay, well, let's see. Over the years, Tommy West, his first game. Now, I didn't get hit, but, you know, a lot of coaches get Gatorade baths. Well, this was the Peach Bowl, and Tommy's, you know, we all know if you cover Clemson football, you know, he came in and took over, and that was his first game.
Yep.
So they beat Kentucky, and they won the game, and I'm out there taking pictures, and they got him with a Gatorade, and I'm walking backwards. I think photographers spend a lot of time walking backwards and in the scrum. Well, I'm walking backwards, and I fall. And as soon as I fall, I'm instantly doused. I had no idea where it came from. And that is, I have that, it's on my Facebook somewhere, I found it, it's on YouTube. But they went to douse him a second time, and you watch it, and you don't see me actually get wet, but you see the water go, thank goodness it was water, it goes right over his shoulder, and it just instantly hits me. And I jump up, you see me jump up, and I'm just completely soaked, but I jumped up shooting. So that was an incident. G Braves, I got hit in the head with a baseball one time, and Jeff Hart was nice enough to put that on his newscast. I got run over at a USC basketball game one time, just, you know, out of bounds, knocked over, and maybe just little incidents, but overall, I think, you know, being injured, and this, to call it an injury, yes, I did have to go get it attended to, but injured, I guess this is the worst.
Okay, let's get to know Bart Boatwright. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Oh, if anybody knows me, I'm from Belton, okay. An old BHP Bear, you know. Went to high school there, graduated there, went to school briefly. I went to a two-year school in North Carolina called Chowan College. Not the end of the world, but from what I understand, you could see it from the middle of nowhere. But they had a I've always been interested in photography. When I was in high school, I played sports. I was on the teams. You know, wasn't a great athlete, but I was on the teams, and I've always loved sports. And I started taking pictures, and I found, hey, I can get in the games and take pictures and do it. And that's began my love for photography and sports photography. So I knew when I graduated high school, I wanted to pursue photography, and I found a little school in North Carolina that I could get in, and they had a good photography program and basic photography, and I was able to get started. And then I graduated there, and I went on to Ohio University. A lot of people ask me, why'd you go to Ohio University? I'd never even heard of Ohio University. I mean, I would have loved to have gone to Clemson, South Carolina, somewhere in the state, but they didn't offer the photojournalism program that I wanted. So I ended up there and spent my time there. And when I got ready to graduate, a job just happened to come open at the Greenville News, and I was lucky enough to get to come back home, and I've been there for, like I say, 28 years now. And if being able to cover Clemson, but not just Clemson, high school sports. I work in the Greenville News. I cover a little bit of everything, but I get to cover all types of sports because that's my passion. But photography is my passion, but it's been a great career because I've gotten to do so many things. You'd think the Greenville News. Well, I've been to a World Series. I was there the night the Braves won. I've been to a Super Bowl with the Panthers. Of course, we know. National championship. I've been to two of those, been to one where we've won. I've been to Final Four, albeit it was a women's Final Four, but South Carolina. So I've gotten to go and do a lot of amazing things. But high school football, I love that. You know, I get to do that every Friday night. Just all types of things. And then there's the other types of photography. Working for a mid-sized newspaper, I get to cover all types of things. So
South Carolina didn't have a photojournalism program back
then?
No,
they had journalism, yep. And they had a photography program, but they didn't have photojournalism. And I just felt like if I was going to do this, I really wanted to go. And OU had, and still does to this day, one of the leading photojournalism programs in the country. And where I learned more, they have a daily student newspaper, completely student-run. And it was, you know, almost like full immersion. You had classes, but you worked for a newspaper. And you learned deadlines. And I learned, this is what I really want to do. You know, some people, they might get into it, and it's not for them. You know, the long hours, the quick turnarounds, the deadlines. But I learned it's what I love to do.
And so your first year at the Greenville News, what are you covering?
Gosh, everything. You know, and the thing about it, back then, there were eight of us. Right now there's only two photographers. We were down one. We're about to hire another. But I covered now I cover Clemson every game, but back then we rotated in and out. I covered Furman, I covered Clemson, I covered South Carolina, but also covered everyday assignments, and which I still do today. So you name it, if you saw it in the paper, that's what I did, and still do.
It's amazing, you know, sports writers and photographers coexist all the time, and our jobs are so different. Our jobs are, reporters' jobs are to talk to people and to extract information. Your job requires no speaking, at least to the people you're...
Yeah, well, sometimes I do, but, you know, you do want to... There are situations where you want to talk to people and build a relation, you know, relationships, but a lot of times my job is to observe. You know, you want to come in and you don't want, you know, you don't want to come in and say, have somebody say, well, what do you want me to do? What,
right.
I don't want you to do anything. I want to observe what you're doing and photograph what you're doing. That's my job, is to tell a story visually, and I'm not coming and creating anything. I'm just there to tell it as visually as I can. And but it, our jobs are so different. I travel, you know, spend a lot of time with Scott Kiefer and Manny Robinson. Scott's our Clemson beat reporter. Manny's our columnist. And we'll go to games, and there'll be game days I don't even see those guys, you know, because we do such different things. I mean, we do think we coexist and do things similarly, but they're, what they do as opposed to what I do is completely different.
And so their job, my job, is to analyze what just happened. Your job is to anticipate what's going to happen, correct?
Exactly.
Covering sports.
Exactly, maybe. Exactly. And, you know, because I think a lot of people think that they want to be a sports photographer, and but they'll come to the game, and I've seen pictures, well, these are some nice pictures, but where are the pictures that tell the story? You know, I need the game-telling pictures. If I didn't have that picture of Hunter Renfrow catching that, you know, game-winning pass, and then, well, that is the picture, you know, and you as a photojournalist, that's your job, is to try to anticipate what's going to happen and try to get the pictures that complement your story to go and work with you, because a lot of times, okay, when the game's over, I'm either calling or texting Scott, hey, what are you writing about? Yeah. Well, I need that catch, I need that. And most of the time, I'll have it because that's my job, you know. And you are there to tell the story of the game. And so that's, yes, that's exactly. And it's anticipating, being a photojournalist too, is anticipating where to be on the field. That's, you know, that's one of the reasons I got ran over Saturday. It was going to be a field goal. And a lot of times I work in the end zones, and because most of the time the plays are coming towards you, you're trying to get the touchdowns or whatever. But when they go to, for me, when I'm trying to get a picture of a field goal, you can't really see them there. So I came up the sidelines. I was up so I can see around the blockers and the defensive and the offensive line to see the kicker, and that's why I was in the position I was in. But it's knowing the game, knowing where to be, and that's a lot of what I do.
Okay, so let's go back to January 9th, 2017.
Yes.
In Tampa, offense takes over with 2 minutes and 7 seconds left, I guess. All right, let's just go. I don't want you to go play by play, but yeah. I'm wondering what you're thinking, because it's got to be one of the most stressful moments in your career. You have to be in the right position. You got Deshaun guiding that offense down the field. Just take me through, not the play-by-play, actual play-by-play, but the play-by-play of your sort of thinking as they're going down the field.
And I tell you, because growing up, you know, full disclosure too, I grew up a Clemson fan. But, you know, when I'm working, I separate myself from that. But, you know, I've still got my Sports Illustrated with Perry Tuttle, you know. And that's such an iconic image. And but you look at it, you know, I go back and I watch the play now, and it's actually not the catch. It's the reaction after, and sometimes it is the reaction. But so anyway, with that drive, you're thinking, and the picture is going to be as if they score.
Yeah.
And it's just one of me, well, myself, and then Ken Renard was there, but he was shooting from the stands. That's where his credential was. So I'm you're not going to take a chance and be upfield. You're in the end zone. And I always work, and most guys do, you work in the corners of your team's end zone. So you can see your sidelines, because if you're on the other side, you can't really see your side. Because a lot of the things we get to are the reactions, the coach's reactions, the player's reactions. And so I'm actually in the corner of the end zone. And if you're ever watching the photographers, you see they have these huge lenses. Well, that's our large telephoto lens. It's 400 millimeter. And but then you also have a short lens too, in case it comes right in front of you. So you have to be able to learn to juggle two cameras. And I'm anticipating as the play comes where they are when they line up. You have your short glass ready, and then you have your long glass ready. And so Deshaun, and forgive me if I don't remember exactly, but I pretty much know. You know, they snap the ball, and then you watch. And if he starts rolling out to his right, well, then you drop your short glass and you pick up the long and you start looking for the guy he's going to throw to. And I found Hunter. And it was, you know, one of those things where the skies kind of parted and he was, you know, right there.
Wow.
And it was, you know, he caught it and you got the catch. And if you see it, to be honest, it's not the greatest picture in the world because he catches it and he goes down on his knees. But it's the catch and you have it. And I think all photographers do this as well. You go back and you look at the other guys and see what they have. And you can't be everywhere. The picture that was on the cover of SI, Sports Illustrated, the photographer's on the other side. And obviously he came towards him and he shot with his wide. And you see Hunter and you see what made his picture was Deshaun in the background with his arms up. But that's not where I was. And so, you know, you can't beat yourself up over – it wasn't that I was not in the right place. I was in the right place for where I, you know, needed to be. You just don't know which way it's going to go every time. And I was happy with what I got. But you just look, you look and say, oh, that's a nice shot. And I would have liked to have had that as well. But you can't be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So
one of the coolest shots, it might have been yours, and it was from where you were. And like you said, you got the whole sideline in the background jumping up. And then the fans, you can see which – the ball is still in the air. And Deshaun is smiling already before Hunter Renfrow even catches the ball.
Right.
That's so cool. Do you agree? Was that yours?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah. And I mean, things like that. And those are things you don't know what's going to happen, but you put yourself in the best, it's an educated guess, you put yourself in the best position that you can hope to be, and then you let your talent, as the photography skills, let that take over. And then, you know, and that's not my picture. I would love for it to be, but yeah, I've seen that. It's a great picture.
Okay. You mentioned looking at other pictures and I wish I would have, you know, natural stuff. At what point, I mean, after every game, whether it's that night, the next morning, 2 days later, is there a point where you're like, okay, I did a good job, or dang it, I wish I would have done this? Not necessarily chalking up wins and losses in a competitive way, but just walking away having some sort of, I guess, feeling on a game, on each game.
there's some games after, and I don't know how, you know, it works with you, but there's some times you're like, what am I doing in this business?
Oh, man.
No, yeah. Look, it's like, and I think it's just like, and I, believe me, I'm not comparing myself to an athlete by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm sure there's some games where you're just, you know, and you think, I was just so bad. Well, you know what? A lot of those times are that plays just didn't happen or they didn't come your way or whatever. And it's just like, what am I doing? And then the next game, you know, it's like, man, you know, look at me. But you know what I mean. So yeah, you have good games, you have bad games. I think it's just that. I think I can equate that to athletics. It's because it's not like the job where you go in and everything's going to be the same every time. And so yeah, there's been times when I'm thinking, man, what happened here? And you look in this, you know, but then you have to stop and think, well, this guy was over here. And, you know, this guy was over here. You know, if I was looking at photos and the guy was right beside me the whole game and he just had this fantastic stuff and I didn't, then I would have a problem with it. But
is there an action, I guess, that you might have done in your first year or two one that is maybe natural for a first year or second year photographer that you did, something you did then that you would never do now, like a fundamental mistake that maybe is natural for sort of green photographers?
Well, I'll tell you a fundamental mistake that happened to me one time, and this was years ago, and I don't know that it had anything to do with being green or whatever, but it just came to mind when you said this. So my son is 23, and he was born on a Saturday. I remember exactly when it was. And so back in the day, you'd go to the hospital and they'd give you a pager. You know, this was pre-cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. So this Saturday, my wife's very pregnant at the time. And so I've got an assignment, and it was a weightlifting assignment. And so I head out and I get to it, and I have my little pager, and I walk in the door and weightlifting. They don't get any coverage. They're just thrilled I'm there. I'm, you know, like, no problem. And the pager goes off. I'm like, oh. She is just testing this thing. You know, I've been gone 15 minutes. So I call her, and she's like, oh, I think it's time. You know, I think it's time. I'm like, oh, okay. Just give me 10 minutes. I've got to shoot this picture real quick, and I'm out of here. So I go out, and there was some kid they needed me to get, and they're like, oh, no problem. He's about to lift. I'm like, okay. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. He lifts. I go, brr, shoot the pictures. Well, there is a very distinct sound to a camera that has no film in it. So, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Kind of like a distinct sound of a car with no gas in it.
Exactly. But if you've done it, had done it as long as I had, you know the sound. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't have film in my camera. I talked to the guys. I'm like, okay, when's this kid going to lift again? They're like, we don't know. Maybe 30 minutes. So they eventually lifted, and I got some pictures of him and raced home, got pulled over on the way home. That's back when Woodruff Road was two lanes, and I went around the curve. That's a whole other story. And got home. We got to the hospital, and he was born fine. But that was a fundamental mistake that that I made years ago. But I'm trying to think what some mistakes would be. You know, again, in sports or not knowing where to position yourself, just in journalism, like I say, don't go in and make yourself part of the story. Don't go in, you know, be a fly on the wall. You know, I see pictures where, people are looking at mugging for the camera stuff. That's not journalism. That's you want to, you know, come in and if you're doing a good job, people not even know you were there for the most part. You know, I think when you first come in, they see you. But if you can just kind of blend in and they don't recognize that you're there, that's doing a good job in my job. And again, unlike yours where you go in and you've got to, you know. So but that would be my advice. You know, just learn to assess a situation and then just kind of blend in as much as possible.
Business owners out there, if you own a business that accepts credit cards, you need to listen up. Tandem Payment, based right here in the upstate, run by Clemson folks, is changing the face of payment processing, quickly becoming the most cost-effective solution for all small businesses. Tandem's program saves you up to 90% on processing charges and gives your customers what they love most, choices. This is not some crazy introductory offer. Tandem's technology allows business owners to offset their credit card processing costs by applying a small customer service charge to each sale they make. If you want to know more, visit TandemPayment.com today. Former Tiger Hot Rod McDowell works over there at Tandem Payment. They handle all their business and customer service face-to-face. So give them a call, 864-672-1570. If you're tired of spending an arm and a leg on all those credit card processing fees. Okay, so pre-late 1990s, there wasn't this thing called the internet.
Exactly.
And your job consisted of taking photographs that would then go into a newspaper with finite amount of space. And so, I mean, it's obvious that your job has changed incredibly because of the internet. Can you give listeners sort of a rundown on, like, okay, so your post-game, your job in let's say 1993, taking however many photos, then going in the process of actually getting those photos developed and into the paper versus now, it seems like a different galaxy, I suppose.
Oh my gosh. You know, and watch out what you complain or wish for, because my main complaint used to be, I make all these pictures and no one sees them. and now it's like I have to make more pictures than I'd want to. Going back to your question, Clemson game, for instance.
Yeah.
So I'd come to a game, and I think, and it's funny too, because that situation where Hunter was, when Deshaun's coming down and say that was 93, one of the first things I would have done was look at my camera and see how many frames left I had in that roll of 36 exposures. Say I was on 12, ooh, I better take that out and put me a fresh roll in so I'll have 36. Man, I'll blow through 36 frames now in about 5 seconds. You know, uh-huh. That's the biggest change, is the number of frames. So I think I'd probably average 10 to 12 rolls of film, which was 36, so do the math, which is nothing. But what I would do, you'd shoot the game, and say a day game, as soon as you got done, you're in the car and you're driving back to Greenville. And because I had to go and process my film. If it was a night game, Clemson had a dark room here, and we'd work here. You'd get your film processed, and you would initially you'd go through your take, and you'd pick, you know, your four or five best, and find out what sports department, what are their needs. Okay, we're going to use one on 1A, one on the sports front, three inside. Let's say. So what is that, five pictures? So they'd take the two, probably front page and sports front would be color. Well, I shot everything else. Everything I shot was on color film or transparency. Early days, it was transparency. It wasn't even color film. So slides,
yeah.
If you don't know what I'm speaking of. So they'd take those two, and they'd have to take those back to the back and do whatever they would do to them. And then the other five or six that they might want for black and white, we'd have to take those, and I'd put them in a little slide holder and put them. We had a bellows that you'd put on the end of the camera. Basically, you'd have to take pictures of those on black and white, process that film, and make prints of those.
Wow.
So it was quite a laborious process,
yeah,
to get five or six photos. And then on the road, you would have to carry, like when I'm traveling, I would have to either make arrangements to work at a newspaper, you would check with AP, see if they could process your film, or you'd carry all your chemistry and everything with you, and you'd be in the bathroom of the hotel or whatever and processing that and doing all this on the road, which was quite an ordeal.
Wow.
Fast forward to today, I bet you Saturday, if I went and looked, 3,000 images, maybe.
NC State game.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. And now, like, I will have Tiger Walk. The team gets off the bus from however how long that takes. I will have a photo gallery. I'll shoot pictures of that, follow the team in, shoot fans, do that, go straight in, go to the workroom, and I'll have a photo gallery up within, you know, 30 minutes of the team getting here. Because it's all about immediacy, getting things up immediate and getting eyes to the website. So I'll have a photo gallery up from that probably an hour before the game even starts. And that's, you know, 75 images, something like that. you get that out, then you go straight out to pregame. Are we working on any stories of some players that might not be playing, coaches that are in the box? Let's work on getting those pictures. Sometimes there might be a recruit here. We need to get that. A game where the two coaches, there might be a story with that. Let's get a picture of the two of those guys real quick. Go back in maybe and get those moved. So five or six more images, and then the game starts. And shoot the first half, go in at halftime, and everything's done. You just pull the cards, you get them into your computer. I'll go through and I'll do a quick, and with the cameras, as I'm shooting the game, I can tag them. It's a little lock on the, it says a little lock, but you tag them. So in my software, I can come in and just scroll down and it'll just show me those. So the big play, it's this business is all about go, go, go. So while people, during their halftime, if you're here at the game, whatever you're doing, we're in there working, and I can probably turn around 30 or so images fully captioned, you know, and that's a big part of it too. You've got to write the captions for everything, because they don't do you. I mean, I'm a journalist just like you're a journalist, and my job is I have to explain who's in the picture, what's going on, get all those ready. And then we transmit those back, so they have those. They're ready to go with those. They can go ahead and have those on the website, and they have those as soon as the game's over. They can throw those pictures in, but we already have a photo gallery up. As soon as the game's over, it's the same process again. Plus, this is where the video comes in. You know, I used to video. You know, I don't do video. Well, I do now, and so it's player interviews. You know, they'll come in. When home games, there's two of us. So Ken Renard, he helps. He'll do the players, and then I'll go upstairs and I'll do Dabo's post game press conference. And as if anybody that covers Clemson could tell you, Dabo, he's not very prompt. We probably have about an hour waiting on Dabo. So that's, I don't mind, because it gives me time, because I'm sitting there editing, and he'll come in and we'll do that video. And so by the time it's said and done, I'll probably have 150, 175 photos from the game. But that's another thing that I never would do. I never shot a lot of cheerleader pictures, a lot of crowd pictures, because there was such a finite space. Mm-hmm. You know, where were we going to put these in? But now, all that, we need all that. So I'm shooting so much more than I would ever shoot. And so we get all those up, and then all the videos online. And then, again, in the paper, it's kind of the same. But I find myself more, it's web first. And then we get the paper product done. But it's just, back when I was shooting film, there was so much work, but it was different.
Yeah.
Now and I wouldn't go back, but there is as much or more work. But you know, I'm not driving back to Greenville. I'm not in a dark room, but I'm just having to turn out so much more product.
So let's go back to 1993.
Yes.
Assume that the game in Tampa, national championship game, is in 93. What time is it when Hunter Renfrow catches that ball?
Oh my gosh! 12:30? Yes, I guess so.
Okay. Would you have been maybe in a dark room trying to process photos for a deadline for the newspaper?
So let's go back even further to the national championship in 81.
Were you there?
No. I was in ninth grade.
Okay, 28. Sorry, my math is
no,
is
no, off. That's fine. But I'm just saying, I was in the ninth grade. I watched it on TV, but I know the photographers who were, and I've seen a picture of. They were in the studio, everything they took, just the mass amount of equipment and that they took with them. There were three of them. And one photographer's job was, if they won, he said, okay, I'm going to have a picture of Danny Ford on their shoulders, carried it. And sure enough, they won, and George Gardner gets this picture, and that's his one job at the end of the game. He shot it, and people don't think about, like, the late deadlines, what that's costing the paper, because all the pressmen, everybody in the newsroom that is working on the sports desk, all the pressmen that are waiting on that one picture, all that's on hold. They're waiting on you. You know, you don't want to think about that, you know, and you don't, but they are. All is, the more time you take, the more money it's costing because that's overtime. So his job was, as soon as he did it, take that film, ran in, processed it. He had to make a color print, and to transmit a color print back when it was analog was 27 minutes to, wow, to send one picture, because it took 9 minutes per printer, yellow, cyan, magenta. You had to send three printers, three different ones, and it was all analog. You could send them over the phone lines at the beginning, but it was still analog, and it would take 27 minutes to send a color picture. So say Hunter catches that, and, you know, I can say this too, though. I know in 93 the game wouldn't have been that late. They would have started
That's a
it
great
earlier.
Point.
They would have started it earlier. But still, you know, from the time he caught that, I would think it'd be at in those conditions, 45 minutes before you could have got it to
Wow.
him. And that would have been really hoofing it. You know, now I can take a picture, plug a cord into my camera, grab it onto my phone, send it like that.
So, without Wi-Fi,
just
LTE, whatever.
If you can get a signal,
yeah. In a stadium,
yeah, because everybody's on their phone. Hunter just caught the winning touchdown, you know. So, but yeah. So that's what's amazing, how quickly you can turn it around. I mean, as soon as he caught it, you know, and after all the initial, you could just plug it in, and I could have it to him in 5 minutes.
I know that, you know, with sports writers, particularly traditionally, the most stressful moments for them or us are, okay, a night game, deadline, you got to have a story in, you know, 5 minutes after the game is over regardless. And so it's that stress of a deadline. What is the biggest, what has been or is the biggest stress for a photographer? When is that moment where you're like, you're really tested sort of, whether it's a deadline or whatever?
And unfortunately, except for the big games anymore, that our deadlines print deadlines have really just been, they're going to print so much earlier now. So say like this 3:30 start anymore, I will, the pictures I move at halftime will be what they put in the paper. So after the game, I mean, that game winning photo, the stress of the deadline's not there, but the stress of what we talked about earlier of getting the shot. Whereas, that's what's so different, and I'm not, believe me, I couldn't do what you do. There's no way. But there, you don't have the stress of, I hope I can write about him catching that. I mean, but writing about it in a creative way, that's your stress. My stress is getting that picture, you know, and that's where the stress is now. But when we make it to, if they make it to the postseason, or you make it to a bowl game where, that's when your deadlines come in, because they will hold for that. But it's just how our business, and it's just how it's become, that the print product is just, I guess, the economics of it or whatever, that the deadlines are so early now that I don't have that deadline stress. I need to get it to them quickly, but they're not sitting there waiting to hit go to print. But I do need to get it, so I'm not stressing out over that as much as I used to.
I know that back in, like, I don't know, the mid-2003, 2005, 2008, somewhere around there, I started to, you know, you have these sort of existential sort of questions, like, about, I know I had, about writing, like, in 10 years, am I going to be able to make a living doing this? Like, in terms of the written word, will it still matter? Does it amaze you that, you know, we have the proliferation of video, anybody can film anything, you have Facebook Live, whatever. Everybody's a reporter, in essence, nowadays.
Everybody's a photographer.
Does it amaze you that, just like the written word still matters in 2018, that a still photograph is still such a big part of our culture? I mean, it's still important. I mean, people give pictures, and I mean, you look in Dabo Swinney's office, and it's loaded down with pictures either people have given him or that he's collected over the years.
I'm always proud when I see one of mine. In there, by the way. But yes, you know, because do I lay awake at night? No, but you think, you know, my job, is it going to go away? You know, and because, like you say, everybody back in the film days, you had to know how a camera works. You had to do, you know, to expose a picture correctly, because people would shoot it and they'd send it to the drugstore and, you know, wait 3 days and come back and see if they got it. Now, everybody can expose their picture correctly, so all of a sudden everybody's a photographer. So, you know, that's what always, you know, I think what I do is undervalued or underappreciated anymore, because everybody thinks what I do is so easy,
mm-hmm.
and that they can do it. And so getting back to, am I surprised that the image? Yes, I am. But I'm always so proud when I have an image and it, because to me, when I take it and I send it in and it's in the paper and I don't think about it, but then when I see it on somebody's wall or somebody calls and, oh, that picture, you know, that really made a difference, you know, maybe it was some news assignment, something, you know, it really made a difference in my life, and that's what I do it for. I mean, it really is that you know, that something I did touched somebody or mean something, you know, it's something that they're going to hold on to, you know, for the
sure.
rest of their life. And so I hope, but, you know, but talking about the nuts and bolts of it, I worry about, you know, video cameras are getting so much better. And, you know, is there going to come a day where somebody, all they have to do is just go out there and shoot video and they can just grab a frame? I mean, that's not here yet, but is that going to happen where they're going to be able to take, you know, all the years of my expertise and my skill? I don't know, but I can't worry about it, you know.
All right. Take me back to the brawl in 2004.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, yeah. I tell you, again, Ken Renard, best picture I've ever seen from that. He has a picture of a guy getting kicked in the head. And he talk about right place, right time, right lens. And that's for him. He put his wide angle lens on and turned around and was shooting a feature of a fan on the hill. And the brawl broke out.
Oh, my goodness.
And he turned around, and if you remember where it was right near the hill. And he turned around, and he's right in the middle of it. And he looks, you know, he looks, and this guy's kicking this guy in the head.
Youssef Kelly.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so I'm that's one of those things. It's like, what's happening here? And that's where you've got to kick in, you know, and I'm over to the side, and I got some okay images, and I got, you know, Lou trying to, you know, feebly trying to break people up. But again, it's all about being professional, knowing what you're doing, but there's luck in it sometimes.
Yeah.
And Ken will be the first to tell you, great picture, and lucky to have the right lens on and be in the right place. But you make your own luck too.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that was something else.
All right, so Ken worked for the Anderson Independent at the time, which was not aligned with the Greenville News at the time.
Right.
And so obviously the next day you're like, dang, I wish I would have had that.
Exactly.
I want to know which of your photos have other people looked at and said, dang it, that dang Bart Boatwright, I wish I would have had that. I know you probably don't like talking about yourself, but...
I mean, I'm trying to think, maybe, you know, I'm sure there's... you know, some touchdown photos, you know, just game action photos.
You had the one in 08 of Dabo getting the Gatorade.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Little context here.
Yeah, you can't get that picture
of how
way,
that popped
anymore.
Into my
yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
Just 2 weeks ago, we did a series on Dabo's 10th anniversary, and I was going back and watching the end of that Boston College game.
Oh, my gosh.
And here comes the Gatorade bucket. Yeah. There's, that's Bart
Let me
Boatwright.
Tell you about that. I was, okay, so 10 years ago, and I was thinking about that because I went back out. I was looking at that. I was 10 years younger, and Dabo was 10 years younger.
I was.
That man about killed me that night because that was his first win. And that's another thing. I tell you, I had a good streak of Gatorade pictures there for a while. But that night, went out there and I got the Gatorade picture, and that man ran from one end of the field to the other and I chased him. He about killed me that night running up and down. But I have a great, speaking of that, I have a great picture when they won the Orange Bowl, Dabo's first Orange Bowl, the Gatorade picture. I have a couple of good Gatorade pictures here. But now in the bowl series, they threaten you with pulling your credentials.
Oh, geez. Yeah, if you get over near the sideline.
You can't get, yeah, yes. And they say, like, say the Sugar Bowl last year, if Clemson would have won and they would have seen you out there shooting that picture, they would pull your credential and you wouldn't get to shoot the national championship or, like, the game again. So, you know, they kind of took that away from us. But, those were some I've got some really good Gatorade pictures. And you have to be careful. Like I say, you get a little bit on you. But, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun.
I mean, obviously you can't – like when a team is about to lose, you don't go – meandering on their sideline. Is it just sort of an unspoken feeling of when you can go?
And let me tell you this, too. I mean, we've been covering Clemson long enough. You know, these last few years have been great. I mean, and that's a whole different way that you have to cover a game. For me, you know, talk about being in whatever position. Your team, I don't remember the last time this has happened, because the few times that Clemson's been beat over the, with the exception of the Sugar Bowl, it's been the last second. But your team's getting beat. Well, I guess I need to go get behind our offense and try to get pictures of, you know, our guy getting sacked or whatever, because you got to get the storytelling picture. But no, getting back to the sidelines. No, I've gotten some real dirty looks before, because you know you go over there and you're shooting this with a long glass, but you know you get those pictures of the dejection and all that But my whole attitude with that is I don't particularly care to take those pictures, but when you guys are winning, man, I'm right there with you and I'm getting those pictures. You got to understand when you're losing, it's not that I want to; it's my job, and I don't relish the fact that I have to go do that, but that's my job. But I hadn't had to do it in quite a while. I mean, it's funny how, you know, you forget it, but that used to – there was a time there we were doing that a little more often. So
did you say earlier, a minute ago, that the 2008 picture at Boston College, you can't get that anymore?
You can do it more during the regular season. You can't do it when you get to the playoffs.
Oh, okay, that's what you were getting
at. That's what I'm saying. You know, they don't want you. They'll get you. But, yeah, no, I'm telling you. And I tell you why you don't get that picture much anymore? They're not – Clemson's been there, done that. There's not a lot of Gatorade. I mean,
the only real action is in the locker room when
exactly,
they're dancing after the
exactly,
game.
Exactly.
But you can't be in there.
Exactly. But when's the last time you saw a Gatorade bath in a regular season game?
It's crazy.
Yeah, but that first little run there, man, I was getting some great Gatorade shots, because it was, you know, I mean, there was some great historic wins, and you've been there, done that. You don't see them so much. We just see assistant coaches getting Gatorade baths now. who's that gets one at the beginning of the year? Who's the new assistant coach? He was getting them there for a while.
Lemansky Hall.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal was with that. And I didn't know it was coming, so I didn't get any pictures of that. So.
Anything I haven't asked you about your crazy profession that you want to talk about?
We've covered film. We've covered digital. We've covered black eyes. I think we've covered about everything.
Tell Christian Wilkins the next time you see him to take it easy on you.
Yeah.
And say hello for me.
Yep. I'll do it.
Thank you, Bart. Really appreciate it.
Larry, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, too, Bart Boatwright, for sharing his time with us. Really cool to get a window into the world of a photographer. A different world, for sure. Be sure to tune in for Friday's podcast. We're going to have... Well, we'll just let you wait and see, but it's going to be a good one as we head into this game against Louisville. We'll just say we're going to revisit some things and leave it at that. Thank you to Parham Smith and Arch & Hold Law Firm in downtown Greenville, title sponsor. Also, the Abernathy Boutique Hotel in Clemson, right down the street from the stadium. Go hang out with them before the game. They got a really cool tailgate going on outside. And also sponsoring the Clemson Dubcast, Tandem Payment. So thanks to those businesses for their support. And most of all, thank all of you for making this a part of your routine. Greatly appreciated. Have a great week, everybody. Cheers.